بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لعب ولهو وللدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون أفلا تعقلون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم، يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا، ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا، يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, from time immemorial, from the very inception of humankind, this insan has been engaged in a very fierce and open battle against a public and open enemy. Shaitan, Iblis, Mal'oon, the accursed, pulled no punches in his initial declaration that was made to Allah Rabbul Izzah in the presence of the very first human being, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu was salam. قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He took an oath, he swore in the grandeur, the majesty, the greatness of Allah Rabbul Izzah, that I will leave no stone unturned. I will exert every bit of effort in order to mislead, to misguide, to distract and deceive every last one of your creation. And this has been the life's goal and mission of Iblis, of Shaitan, from the creation of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout the eras of every single Nabi of Allah, and which continues now in the era and the time of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We find ourselves, respected brothers and elders, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years after that initial declaration. And there is a saying in the field of business and investment that time in the market is everything. Iblis, Mal'oon, has had nothing but time in the market. Hundreds of thousands of years to hone his skills, to perfect and master his craft, the art of deception, the art of deceit, the art of illusion and distraction. And you and I are his sworn and open enemies. We can well imagine and understand, respected brothers and elders, the methods, the tools, the strategies that will be employed by Iblis Mal'oon against the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will weigh very heavily upon those who are not fortified within the fortress of Iman and Taqwa. And while his efforts have differed from time to time, when we look at the world at large, the way it operates, we will realize, and it does not take very much perception, it does not take a deep glance for a person to realize and understand that one of the tools at his disposal, one of the strategies that he employs to a very successful measure, is the widespread and common usage of, and in many cases the addiction to, not just the cell phone in general, but social media in particular. And before we continue, respected brothers and elders, many seated here, many listening to this program, may immediately switch off mentally. That here we are speaking about something which no human being can claim to be saved from. From grandfather to granddaughter, from the mother and father to the children within the home, male, female, husband and wife, young and old. Apart from a handful of individuals who can claim to be protected, but by and large, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has fallen very deep into this particular addiction. And many of us fail to realize and recognize it. Ulama have explained two reasons. On one hand, we are well acquainted with the benefit, with the goodness or the so-called goodness that it brings to our lives. There is a wealth of information available at our fingertips. And a person in just a matter of seconds is able to access knowledge that previously would have required him to travel for kilometers on end. He would have had to visit different countries. He would have had to make trips to and fro from the library. And that very same information is now accessible within a few seconds, with just a few swipes on his screen. And it is perhaps because of these so-called benefits that we fail to realize that in reality this has become an addiction. And not just an addiction, but a lethal and fatal addiction. And if we have not yet realized this, respected brothers and elders, just two incidents that I will share with you, and perhaps this will be sufficient to remove the wool from our eyes. One incident, a friend narrates, he says an entire evening, a family gathering, get together, where people are now meeting one another, perhaps after months of not having spoken. There are conversations taking place, food is being served. He says, Morana, I observed for 2.5 hours, two youngsters, in the prime of their youth, at an age where they should be the most active participants in any gathering. But he says, I observed and I saw with my own eyes. 2.5 hours went by, these youngsters did not lift their head from their cell phone, not even once. Is this not an addiction, respected brothers and elders? And if we think this is something that is only applicable to the youth, then those of us who have already turned grey, let us understand and listen to this. The young mother, suckling her newborn baby, and she makes a remark and comment. She says, my sleep breaks every night. I wake up at 11:30, 12 o'clock sometimes. The entire house is quiet and still. I know my parents have already fallen off to sleep. My husband has fallen off to sleep next to me. But I know that if the child's diaper is soiled, I will have someone to assist me. What do you mean? She says, I know Nani will still be awake. Her scrolling session from Isha will only end at midnight. She too is addicted to Instagram, to TikTok, to these social media applications. It is not just the youth of the ummah. Understand, respected brothers and elders, a man, a woman, 80 years of age, addicted to some social media application that was only released 10 years ago. What level of deception, what level of delusion, what level of investment from shaitan this must have taken, that in my 60s and 70s I dedicated time to learn this. And if we have still not understood and realized, then let us look through our usage. Let us look at our society at large and in general. When it comes to the deen of Allah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find one command or prohibition very strongly worded in Quran and Sunnah, which Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam on multiple occasions cautioned Sahaba radiallahu anhum regarding. In fact, when we look into Quran, we find that every other command and prohibition, when Allah Rabbul Izzah passes it on to the ummah, then Allah does not include a separate address for the male and the female. Rather, both genders are addressed at the same time. Aqeemu salah, O men and women, establish salah. Atu zakah, O men and women, discharge your zakat. Ijtanibu kathiram min adhan, men and women, avoid having suspicious thoughts about one another. But when it comes to this particular prohibition, then Allah Rabbul Izzah in the Quran addresses the men separately. And for emphasis, Allah addresses the women folk separately. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ. The guna, the sin of abusing the gaze. which ulama have explained to be a pandemic of its own. And we have heard how many ulama-i-kiram and pious people dedicating not just one or two lectures, but at times their entire lives to discussing this topic, trying to treat this spiritual malady. Understand from the very onset, respected brothers and elders, it would not be any exaggeration if we had to claim and say that perhaps there is not a single scrolling session that is free from the abuse of the gaze. If we have to dig deep and be honest and truthful to ourselves, then perhaps we will fail to find a single occasion of us merely launching that application or visiting that website without the abuse of the gaze taking place. And what this has done, it has desensitized us completely. In the past, this was something that every person would have been engaged in to some extent. Even the married man at times would have a roaming gaze. Sometimes the mother of 3 and 4 children, she too would abuse her gaze under certain circumstances. But it was something confined to his or her private life. It was not something that he or she dared to do in front of public. And it was something that every person held very close to his heart and understood it to be an act of guna, of sin. There was no effort made at justifying this. Deep down the person understood and knew that what I am doing is against the teachings of deen. And therefore, even if he or she did not take time out to make tawbah, a big night would come. The 27th of Ramadan would come. Shab-e-Barat would come. A person would go for Hajj or Umrah, and they would make some general tawbah, oh Allah, forgive every sin of mine. And included in this would be the abuse of the gaze. He or she still deemed it to be and regarded it to be a sin. And then came the rise of social media, where every human being carried within his pocket a tool to abuse the gaze on a daily basis. And with that came the desensitization. But he began to now treat it to be an ordinary occurrence, so that even the learned and the so-called pious would not be free from posting some status, from sharing some image or video that included within it something that was totally and clear-cut against the command of Allah. It showed a woman in the state of undress. It showed a man with his aura and private parts being exposed. And we did not bat an eyelid. We did not give it a second thought. And what this then led to, respected brothers and elders? It started with the abuse of the gaze. And then it led us to engage in informal interactions with the opposite gender. And here on this particular point, respected brothers and elders, it is unfortunate, but it is the reality. Many of us who may even find ourselves to be 5 times musallis, we may deem ourselves to come from knowledgeable and learned backgrounds. We may think of ourselves to be upright and abiding citizens of the deen of Islam. Yet unfortunately, perhaps due to secular influence, perhaps due to Western influence, many of us fail to realize and understand that there can be absolutely no type of platonic relationship, a relationship that is devoid of some romantic or sexual gestures between members of the opposite gender. This is categorically impossible. And this is a very bold statement I am making, respected brothers and elders, and something which perhaps 90% of those listening will disagree with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very clear and categorical on this fact. But perhaps due to our own weakness of iman, let us look at the worldly application or the worldly evidence. In 2012, there was a study, and the conclusions of the study were published in a journal called the Scientific American. And the study surveyed a number of people who claimed to enjoy completely platonic relationships with the opposite gender. She is merely a work colleague. He is just a friend. There is nothing romantic involved here. I have no desire or inclination for this person. And our friendship can remain on this level, and it does not affect my desires or inclinations in any way. What was the conclusion of the study? And bear in mind, this was a study that was conducted by non-Muslims. The study concluded, amongst other things, and the writer or the researcher concludes and says that while there may be anecdotal evidence, and we may pass around stories, and a person's heart and mind may still deceive him into thinking that I can be friends with the opposite gender, but the stark reality is that it is categorically impossible to enjoy a relationship with the opposite gender and have it free from some romantic inclination. Rather, there would be a problem with this person. He would be seen as abnormal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very categorical about this. On one occasion, he says to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. O my Sahaba, be very cautious and careful when entering into the domain of the woman, their private quarters. This is not a place that you should be frequenting. One Ansari Sahabi comes forward. O Nabi of Allah, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الْحَمُّ. Tell me, what about my immediate family members? My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, my wife's sister. Should I be as cautious there? How do I avoid this? In two words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam squashed the discussion. He responds to him, Al-hamwu al-maut. O my Sahabi, if you have not yet understood, then leave alone interacting with strangers of the opposite gender. But your interaction with your close family members who are not your maharim, and who are members of the opposite gender, the consequences of such interactions should be feared as strongly as you fear death. Al-hamwu al-maut. Whether it be the study conducted by a non-Muslim, whether it be the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, weigh that against my own feelings and inclinations. And we will very soon realize, respected brothers and elders, that there is absolutely no room within the deen of Islam for these unsupervised interactions between members of the opposite gender. This too was something understood in the past. But again, with the rise of social media, we find it has now become fair game for me to comment, for me to reply, for me to suggest, for me to express some gratitude to that content creator, or for some person to leave some like or some comment on my page. And we do this with absolutely no care and concern. And as I mentioned earlier, what has perhaps added to the severity is that now, leave alone becoming desensitized, leave alone justifying the sin, we now are prepared to do this in front of all and sundry. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which appears in Bukhari, appears in Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullu ummati mu'afan." إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرُونَ. Every ummati of mine who makes tawbah, then he has a chance of being forgiven. But there is a category that is excluded from the general rule. The mujahirun. Who are the mujahirun, O Nabi of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to explain, a person commits an act of disobedience in the dead of night. He fell prey to his nafs. His iman was weak, he slipped into that sin. This is something natural, every human being is going to do this. But Allah Rabbul Izzah concealed that sin from the eyes of the public. And when he wakes up in the morning, of his own accord, without any coercion, he goes forward and he publicizes this to everyone. He is excluded from the forgiveness given to my ummah. He engages in sin in privacy, but he does not give it a second thought before broadcasting that to the public. Ask ourselves, respected brothers and elders, what are we doing on social media? If a man was having some relationship with the opposite gender, whether it be a youngster, whether it be a married man, he knew how to duck and dive. He hid it from his family members. He hid it from his own friends. And while this may not have justified the sin, but it gave him a stronger chance of making tawbah. Now that very same person flaunts it to all and sundry. He does not bother about what is left on his page, what is left on the comments, what is left under those replies. He has become completely desensitized. And then we take it one step further, respected brothers and elders. Not just the adult, who may still have the tools to move through social media responsibly. But we now find increasingly, not just our teenagers, but sometimes before a child even reaches his teens, the father does not even entrust him with the house keys. And that child is given access to every social media application on the planet. He has the world at his fingertips. He can barely be trusted to put his clothes in the washing basket. And yet, as a parent, I deem it appropriate to expose my child to the world at his fingertips. Many of us may say, Maulana, you are living in an illusion and you do not realize how do we fight the urge. How do we keep this away from our children if it is not possible, respected brothers and elders? At the very least, delay its introduction. At the very least, delay its introduction. Fight for as long as I can. Create some alternative, find some alternative. But it is nothing short of suicidal to expose our children to these ills and dangers. As adults, we ourselves understand and know the temptation. In the past, the parent would carefully vet and authenticate who he chose to teach and impart information to his children. The person had to have sound knowledge. He had to be a man of character. It had to be somebody with a level temperament. Somebody who would impart good values and morals to my child. Today we have now exposed our children to the content creators of the world. And it is an accepted principle amongst these content creators. And we are free to research this ourselves. But they will deliberately include the incorrect information in their content. What they do under the guise of engagement farming. If I include some error in there, it will cause more comments. It will increase the engagement with my post. I will become more famous. There will be a chance that my post will be monetized. I will earn money out of this. It is a deliberate ploy and attack to put out incorrect information. This is something that they do not hide about. And yet, we are presenting this as a tool of learning, of seeking knowledge to our very own children. And sometimes all we need to do is look at the posts that are forwarded on social media. And we will realize this person does not have a clue about what he is speaking about. And all the more so when it comes to the deen of Allah. Sometimes what is passed off as a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is in direct conflict and opposition to the deen of Allah. Without giving it a second thought, we forward this. We pass the message on. Respected brothers and elders, we can go on speaking about the dangers, about the harms. The first step is for us to acknowledge that it has become an addiction. Many of us are still living in the stage of denial. Whether it be regarding our children, whether it be regarding ourselves, what is the solution? As I mentioned, somebody may say that you are living in an alternate reality. It is not possible for us to forego these things in today's world, leave alone asking our children to come off it. There is a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which, while it was revealed for a different case, we would be well served if we apply it to our usage of social media. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion advises the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ. O my Sahaba, listen, try to avoid sitting and occupying the public walkway. This is not a place for you to set up camp. If you wish to relax, then you should do so in the confines of your home, in your private quarters. But you should not be occupying and crowding the public walkway. Sahaba radiallahu anhum respond, O Nabi of Allah, sometimes this is unavoidable. The very same response many of us would give when it comes to social media. My entire business runs off it. It's something unavoidable in my life. O Nabi of Allah, sometimes we can't avoid this. And this is the only place for us to gather and sit and talk. Now what do we do? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives them 5 guidelines. Housekeeping rules. فَإِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا الْمَجْلِسِ O my Sahaba, if there really is no way out, and you have to now crowd and occupy the public walkway, فَأَعْتُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ Then ensure that you fulfill the rights of the public walkway. O Nabi of Allah, what are the rights of the public walkway? As I mentioned, respected brothers and elders, the revelation, or rather, the statement of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was for a very different use case. While we may not be speaking about the public walkway, but we will be well served if we apply this to the streets of social media. O my Sahaba, give the public walkway its due right. O Nabi of Allah, what are the rights of the tariq? The very first guideline, غَضُّ basar, guard your gaze. Understand that you have now occupied a space wherein that which is permissible to look at and that which is impermissible to look at will be equally found in front of you. You can no longer labor under the false deception that the first gaze is allowed, because you have certainty that you will see something impermissible. Take every care to guard your gaze. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes on to say, وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى In your dealings with people in the public walkway, and likewise for us in our dealings and interactions on social media, ensure that you do not give any harm to the next person. Not by means of your words, not by means of your actions, not by means of your insinuations. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes on, وَرَدُّ السَّلَامِ When somebody greets you and it is appropriate to reply to his greeting, then ensure you reply to his greeting. Sometimes in our usage of social media, we forget basic etiquette. A person sends a message and he goes unreplied. And how many a times it's become a common complaint that a message was sent to so and so. He read the message, he received the message, but there was no response. Sometimes days go. And there isn't even acknowledgement of the receipt of the message. If somebody greets you, reply to his greeting. Interact in the way you would interact in a live meeting. And then the final 2 guidelines Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives. وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ That during the course of your social media usage for our application, then do not forget the primary objective of a believer. And that is not just to engage in good deeds himself, but to take others along with him. You may be operating some account, some page, whatever it may be. And we are not going to go into the technical discussion of whether it should be done or not. We have already laid out some of the dangers and harms. But nevertheless, where it is unavoidable, then don't forget your primary obligation as a believer to take others along on the pathway to Jannah. And very importantly, وَنَهْيُنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ When you see and observe something incorrect, then it is not befitting for a believer to turn a blind eye to it. If you had to walk by and see somebody abusing someone else, oppressing someone else, hurting or harming someone, doing him down in business, and you were there physically, you would have made an effort to put an end to it. What stops you from making a similar effort behind the screen? As I mentioned, and I'm repeating, this hadith was revealed regarding the public walkway. But we would be well served to apply it to our usage of social media. Respected brothers and elders, time has run out. I will take just 2 more minutes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak about the end of times. And perhaps that which he spoke about the most strongly was the fitna of Dajjal. Dajjal, who we loosely translate as the great deceiver. His entire business is built on deception, on illusion, on deceit. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to his sahaba, when he presents his fire to you, jump into it because it will be a garden. When he presents his garden to you, stay very far from it because that in reality will bring about your destruction. If it is so simple, why were they so afraid? Why were they so worried and apprehensive? What will we do when Dajjal will arrive? Ask ourselves, respected brothers and elders, how clear are things on social media? Things are not as it seems. There is a great deal of deception. There is a great deal of illusion behind it. A great amount of deceit behind it. If we are unable to navigate through this, in our times when we have not yet seen the emergence of Dajjal, how will we fare when he truly does emerge? Or will it be that I am already subscribed, I am already following, I have already liked it and I cannot escape? Allah protect us. Allah give us that strength of iman. The first prize is for us to rid ourselves and our lives of these social media applications. We do not need it. We will not lose anything. Ask yourself the question, if I delete that application, what will happen? And the answer will be nothing will happen. Absolutely nothing will happen. I will not lose financially. I will not lose spiritually. I will not lose emotionally. I will have a higher quality of life. My iman will be increased. My closeness to Allah will increase. And ultimately, I will have the strength of iman to fight against the trials of Dajjal. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.